Oh, man, you are going to love the next guest, Wade T. Lightheart. Stop by the podcast. He's an author, athlete, nutritionist, and expert on fixing digestion. This guy's amazing. He's a three-time Canadian all-natural bodybuilding champion who competed as a vegetarian, former Mr. Universe competitor, host of the Awesome Health podcast. Wade Lightheart is one of the world's premier authorities on natural nutrition and training methods. And folks, we all need this. You're going to love Wade next on the CJ Evolution podcast. Hello, everybody. Patrick here. Welcome back to the show. Whatever you were doing, wherever you are at, thank you for spending a little bit of your valuable time with me. Big shout out to all the brave men and women out there. Whatever you were doing in the criminal justice field, thank you for doing it. It's such a tough environment, but every day you get up, you heed the call to service, and you go out there and you put it all on the line for us, and we are forever grateful for your service. Please be safe and keep up the fantastic work. Big shout out to our sponsor, Detectachem. This amazing and innovative company is protecting our most valuable resources, and that is the people, brave men and women who protect us every day. Mobile threat detection is available for the palm of your hand. Their amazing product detects illicit drugs, explosives, and again, it fits in the palm of your hand. If you want to check out how they can help your organization keep your troops safer, head over to cjevolution.com, click on the link to Detectachem. You will not be disappointed. Man, if you love coffee, and I know I do, I know a lot of you do too, you are going to love the products from Four Sigmatic. Everything from elixirs, cocos, coffee. My personal favorite is the Lion's Mane Mushroom Coffee. Yes, I said mushrooms. It's the good mushrooms. You are going to love it. It doesn't even taste like mushrooms. It tastes like regular coffee, and it's better for you. Check out their products at cjevolution.com. And best of all, you're going to get a discount, 15% off, using the promo code CJEVO. Folks, I drink this every day. You are going to love it. Check them out. Are you tired, irritable, pissed off, don't want to go to work? Or when you get to work, you wish you were not at work? Folks, I spent 23 years in law enforcement, and while many of those years were fun, exciting, invigorating, I love what I did, there were peaks and valleys. I know what you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you need a boost. You need people that are going to lift you up, not keep you down. I want to be your personal coach. My life didn't really change until I sought out people that were going to lift me up again, not keep me down. I want to get on a discovery call with you and introduce you to my Evolve Coaching. This is going to change your life. This is a game changer, not only personally, but professionally. Head over to our website, cjevolution.com. Let's get on that discovery call so you can become a better you in 2020. On to the show with Wade Lightheart. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Super excited to have my next guest on the show, Wade Lightheart. Are you there, sir?
I certainly am. Great to be here, Patrick.
Oh, I appreciate it. Man, you've done so many great things. I mean, I was just digging into your background recently. You're a national bodybuilding champion. You're an advisor to the American Anti-Cancer Institute. I'm sorry. You're doing all kinds of stuff out there, helping so many people. How did you get started on your journey?
Oh, great question. So, you know, like everybody else, I kind of grew up an ordinary life living, of course, I was living in Canada, mm-hmm. playing hockey and hanging out with my friends. And then when I was 15, three big things happened to me. One, my parents moved to a private resort. They were the caretakers of it. So it was like 5 miles to my nearest neighbor. The telephone poles ended up my door on a dirt road up a mountain. Literally have to take a snowmobile out to the school to catch the school bus for an hour. Geez,
you really were that guy who had to walk 5 miles.
I really was. I was the guy for real. And so I got a lot of isolation at that age, and I wasn't too happy about it being a 15-year-old. And then on top of that, my sister was diagnosed with cancer at the time. She was 4 years my senior, and I watched her go through the medical model for the next 4 years before she died an untimely death at 22. And that had a big impact on me. And, but at that same time, when we first moved there, my sister gave me a bodybuilding magazine that had Troy Zuclato on it with who had, was a blonde guy that won Mr. California and had two pretty girls on, you know, driven mad with testosterone as every 50-year-old boy is. I was like, oh man, maybe I need to get these muscles. And so I built a gym in my barn and started lifting kind of like, was it, I think it was Rocky IV or whatever he was when he was fighting Drago. Yeah. So kind of that all kind of went down. And later on, I developed a career, went to exercise physiology, University of New Brunswick, and then started mentoring under a variety of different individuals after that. And after 16 years, ended up representing our country, went to the Mr. Universe, started a nutritional supplement company, lived all around the planet, got into all these different things, became a spokesperson for a couple other issues, and then now have focused primarily on digestion with my company, Bioptimizers, that I co-founded with Matt Gallant.
Jeez, man. Anything else? Wait, you wanna... we didn't even get to the book. I mean, you're author of several books.
Yeah. I mean, I had a little bit of an unusual lifestyle. Didn't kind of do the white picket fence and family like everyone else. And I love it. I respect it. I wish it was me, but just didn't turn out that way. I spent some time in some ashrams in India and got into meditation and just kind of went all over the map. And somehow I'm sitting here in an office overlooking the Santa Monica Pier going, how did I get here?
It's an amazing life, man. I mean, you've done it and you probably have the same outlook like some people. I know I do. It's just, we only have this one life, dude. You got to go for it and live the best life you can, right?
Well, you know, that was the great value that I got out of my sister's untimely death. And, sure. You know, her dying at 22 and me having, you know, heart-to-heart conversations about her terminal illness early on really plugged home how precious life is and how your life isn't a guarantee, your health isn't a guarantee. So that impacted me in a way that probably paved the way for a little bit more erratic lifestyle than the average person. And I wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah. And I want to talk more about that down the road a little bit. And you talked about, you know, your bodybuilding career. You do so much work with human performance and improvement. I mean, maybe this is a broad question, but I'll ask you anyway. How does a person out there optimize one's health? I mean, I know there's different components, but can you give us a general answer about that?
Well, I always say environment is stronger than will, and we all have habits. We're all slave to habits, so you might as well choose the habits that are going to help you be healthier than the ones that aren't, because you're going to get into those habits. Yeah. And that's largely in part on the environment you create, both externally and internally. And I think there's seven basic pillars that lead to health. You know, deep breathing, water, and exercise. Those first three things, those things are non-negotiables. Mm-hmm. It's just period. They're essential to life. And they're relatively inexpensive things to do that everybody needs to do. And the evidence is overwhelming that those are the things you have to do, especially in a very sedentary world and especially in an increasingly toxic world. Mm-hmm. After that, it gets around to, you know, sunlight and sleep. You go down to what I call optimizers, the things that, you know, accelerate or are required by the function of every one of the 100 trillion cells in our body, which are enzymes, probiotics, amino acids, essential fatty acids, vitamins, minerals, and a variety of herbs. And then there's your mental beliefs and attitude, which could be first, but it would totally mess up my little acronym. And then finally is education, testing, coaching, always be learning, always be testing. And if you can't do something, go find someone who has, get coached by them, and that'll accelerate the result. And that created the awesome health principles, which I teach regularly to how people access that, how they learn the system in today's kind of fast paced world.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love the awesome acronym.
Thank you.
Now for a criminal justice professional out there, maybe you're a patrol officer, maybe you're wherever, a deputy somewhere. There's a lot of people working shift work. Wade, you probably know they work, you know, graveyard shift. You know, they're working at night. How can somebody who works at night, whether you're in criminal justice or not, maybe you're doing something else, maintain a high level of performance? Because your sleep's off and your circadian rhythm and all that stuff. Yeah.
Well, really, that's going to be probably the one thing that you're going to have to master more than anything else, is recreating a sleep environment that mimics the natural conditions with, like, and I'm talking about using blackout curtains, electrical equipment inside the room, because you're going to be sleeping at odd hours off the bat. The other thing is having some sort of
practice that allows you to kind of defrag from the stresses of the day. I have so much respect for people in the first responders and criminal justice, because you're dealing with people almost all day long that are, it's kind of like the worst day of their lives.
Yeah.
And it's a very high stress position. There's a lot of, and oftentimes there's danger involved, and also some complications that can kind of wear you down after a while, because sometimes it's, you're seeing the most challenging aspects of human condition in society, and that takes a mental toll on you. And that mental toll has to be managed and mitigated. It's not an if, it's a must, because if you don't, it's almost always going to come back and bite you in the butt in regards to, you know, obesity, health challenges, relationship challenges, all that sort of stuff, largely in part because you're going to run out of the physical resources you need in order to deal with that type of environment.
Yeah. And it reminds me of the book, your best-selling book, Staying Alive in a Toxic World. And I always say, you know, like you said, Wade, I mean, people don't call the first responders when things are great. They call it when, you know what, hits the fan. And a lot of that, and that's just the nature of the business, but we got to be careful to limit or mitigate that toxicity so it doesn't bleed into our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's it. First responders deal with the unmanageable situations of other people's lives. Exactly. They're the ones that are managing it. So just by nature, I mean, it blows my mind how these folks do it. And so I'm glad to be here and maybe I'll offer a tip or two.
Yeah. Yeah. And let's shift gears a little bit, because I mean, it amazes me your background and what you're involved in and what you've experienced. Let's talk about wealth for a minute, Wade. Mm-hmm. You talk about, we all hear rat race, and I think you know the research out there. I think a lot of people out there, I can't remember the percentages, maybe you know, don't like what they're doing. What advice can you give them, you know, if they're stuck in that wheel, if they're stuck in that, you know, hamster wheel, and they just don't like their job?
Well, I think there's a couple things they need to do. The first thing is you have to recognize is that most of the things that people are chasing are never going to make them happy. Yeah. The house, the car, the 401k bank account, the fame, the status, and all that sort of stuff are points that, I mean, you can think of any goal that you might have worked for years. You kind of get it, and you feel good about it for a day or a week or a couple hours, yeah, and then it's gone. And so it's who you become in the process. And so if you're tied into a family or a relationship or all that sort of stuff, you really got to sit down and get honest with each other and say, what is the real goal here? Is the goal here for, as I call it, the golden handcuffs? And I used to coach so many people that had that. They had all the things that people are chasing, and they were absolutely miserable. They wanted to go build a boat in Indonesia or something.
that sounds like a good idea.
That just wasn't on the program. and that's what oftentimes triggers the midlife crisis, but is to sit down and to get really quiet and really honest about what's important in your life and what's important in your partner's life and what's important in your kid's life. Your kids, they need love. That's the number one ingredient. That's all I had when I got growing up. My parents weren't super affluent or anything else, but they gave me love, and that's what gave me the confidence to go out there and do what I wanted. And I think that's an important thing, because a lot of times people kind of become martyrs to an idea. And if they actually look at their partner or even at their life or their kids and talk to them in an open and honest way as human to human, soul to soul, they'll recognize that many of the things that we think that we want to give or provide actually are just total fictitious ideas. If you get down to what's raw and real, it's those little moments in life that make everything happen.
Yeah.
And most of those don't really cost that much money.
Yeah. And I think, that's just, you know, I'm not making an excuse, but that's just, we're bombarded with that stuff every day, Wade. And I think a lot of people, and I agree with you, there's no U-Haul following you to the grave. And a lot of people just caught up in the, I got to keep up with the Joneses, and but nobody on their deathbed, I don't think, you tell me if I'm wrong, I'd love to hear your opinion, is saying, you know what, I wish I had another Rolex in my collection. I mean, no. Talking about the relationships and loving each other, and you know, the relationships
and the regrets.
That they didn't. Yeah, regrets.
The regrets. Yeah, the one that is the big one. And what's interesting is I've been on a lot of deathbed situations.
Yeah.
And I can honestly say that the regrets, it's the things, it wasn't the mistakes made that was counted. It wasn't the money that was made. It wasn't the working hours made. It was the things that people didn't do, didn't try, or didn't take a shot at that bothered them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm hoping to go to my grave regret free.
So how do you teach that? How do you, when you talk to people, you talk to thousands of people, Wade, how do you get people to understand that? To understand, is it just, I mean, I'm sure some of them get it, but.
I'll tell you the best way that I know that people can do this. And that is take one day off, go to a palliative care place, mm-hmm. and interview a half a dozen people.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
That's it. That's all it takes. It takes one day of your life. Go do that. And your life will change. You will get perspective on what's important. And ironically, I was able to get that because of the situation I was thrust into accidentally as a teenager with my sister's imminent illness. And I didn't know the impact that that had on me. But looking back now, I realized that was the piece that kind of opened up the door for me to, you know, to live life, take chances, and do my best to help others.
Yeah. Now, you talked about at the beginning of the show, Wade, because I'm a big believer in mindfulness. I meditate. If you would ask me just a handful of years ago about meditation, I probably would have laughed at you. How important is that for people to engage in, to practice? I mean, I don't think you have to sit on the floor. I think some people, you know, when you talk about meditation, they get this image in their head, like, you know, cross-legged and things like that. That's not necessarily encompasses the whole idea of meditation, right?
Yeah, I think what people mistake is they mistake the technique for the state. All the various techniques, whether it's breathing practice, whether it's heart rate variability, whether it's mindfulness practice, are designed to interiorize the senses so that you can get a place to kind of like reconnect with the deepest aspects that make us us, the I behind the I. And when you can, there's a thousand different ways to get there. Mm-hmm. And you can do that simply while you're traveling on a bus or sitting in a car. You can do that in a traditional cross-legged meditation. And, you know, I've done the whole gamut. I've done all of them. I've been to the ashrams. I lived there. I was going to be a monk. I've seen it all. But at the end of the day, it comes down to being able to quiet the mind, to go within, and to connect with, I would say, the infinite intelligence, to recognize that everything's okay, mm-hmm. and that you have resources available to you when you shut down the external forces yeah. that kind of distract us.
And I know when I started meditating, I used apps, and it was difficult for me because my mind was always going. You know, I mean, 100 miles an hour, but it's like anything else, Wade. I mean, it's practice, right? It takes practice.
Yeah. And if people are really, you know, you're those A-type people, you might want to check out a couple different places, either BioCybernaut or 40 Years of Zen, where they hook your brain up and you actually get feedback where you can actually see in real time about how to get yourself into those optimal brain states. So you'll go for about a week and you can accelerate your meditative practice in 1 week. You can get, you know, decades of experience by using that feedback.
Yeah. And I love, because I talk to people all the time, kind of like you. And when I tell people about meditation and quieting your mind and, you know, journaling or whatever, law of attraction, some people just kind of laugh at me. And I'm like, dude, this stuff works. I mean, it's very important. I wouldn't have believed it a year, handful of years ago, but I believe in it. What's your take on the law of attraction?
Well, I always call it, and I would go one step forward, I would call it the law of intention, which shows,
I like that,
appears as a law of attraction. And so if you go into theoretical quantum physics, it's basically the collapse of the wave function on the Dirac equation, which is if you hold something in mind, and the more people that do that, the likelihood of that coming to fruition tends to happen. And this has actually been proven scientifically. So what does that mean? Well, it means you get what you focus on. And there's an RAS system inside our brains that, for example, if I say, hey, look, you know, Tony Robbins does this. If you sit in a room and say, look around the room right now and see, look for red, look for red, look for red, look for red, look for red. Okay, close your eyes. Now tell me everything in the room that was blue. You didn't see it. And yeah. So what happens, our self-talk is, you know, you'll start even making things that are burgundy red. Just to get the point. And we do this in life all the time. So you really have to ask yourself better questions in life. Instead of saying, why aren't things working the way I would think? the better question would be, well, how's Grace demonstrating the way that things need to be or whatever? You can, just by just changing the quality of your questions, you automatically start to pick up and notice these things. And that's kind of summarized in the law of attraction, but the intention means holding in mind what it is that you want to have happened, and then watching how that RIS starts picking up the little tidbits, the people, the places, the things, and the events. And that is the unfolding of the continuous miraculous, which is really the whole point of going into meditation, where you start to get into this flow state of just being present to what is and without judgment. And that's a great place to hang out in. And
yeah.
Every time I'm in there, it's awesome. And every time I'm not, it's not.
Now, do you have some sort of morning routine, Wade, that you do? Or
yeah, I certainly do. So I get up and do Eastern philosophy type energization exercise, where I move the chi through my body. It takes me about 15 minutes energizing different body parts. I then engage in a specific stretching process for my spine to open up the spinal pathways. And then I do a meditation practice that I learned from a particular discipline. And I do my breath work. And then I try and sit there in devotion and open up my heart, moving beyond the mind into my heart and reaching out into the world as a, you know, connecting with people and humanity and what we can do and how we can help. And then after that, I'm off to the gym. Work out in the gym, slip over to the cryotherapy, get out the inflammation, jump in the shower, come home, get in the car, go to the office, and start doing interviews like this.
That's awesome, brother. Now, we talked about your book, Staying Alive in a Toxic World, The Wealthy Backpacker. Anything else that you have out there?
You know, I guess our biggest and easiest course is we have a thing called the Double Your Energy 12-Week Awesome Course, and I give it away at my site at buyoptimizers.com. In fact, you go to CJ Evolution Podcast 10. You can get access to the course. I give it away for free. Basically, I summarized 30 years of my health education into 5 to 15 minute videos. There's 84 of them. Like, you can do one a day over 12 weeks. You can burn through the whole thing in one weekend, or you can spread it out over the year about the little items that a person can integrate at the pace that they want in order to truly have awesome health. And
that's,
it's free,
awesome.
And it's easy, and you can just watch it on your cell phone.
That is awesome. Now, going back to books for a minute, what made you put pen to paper? Because a lot of people, I think, talk the talk about writing a book, but you actually did it. Is there any advice that you would give aspiring authors out there? And what made you just kind of say, you know what, I'm going to write a book, or books?
Great. Well, yes, I can. And this was actually passed on to me by one of my publishers, and I think it's super valuable. Number one, I always had a love affair with books. I read a lot of books. I grew up without a computer and all that sort of stuff. So books were my only source to the outside world in a lot of ways. And what happened is I decided that I would write a book, and as a way of summarizing education for people I were in dealing with, whatever industry you're in. It's a way of not repeating what you were doing in the past. Mm-hmm. Over and over and over again. You just, here's the principles, and let's lay that out. Now we can have a conversation to move forward and overcome whatever obstacles. But I would say this, anytime that you go on the endeavor of writing a book, you have to recognize there's three things that you have to overcome. So many people try to write a book and then never get to the final publishing part, because number one, when you write that book, it's going to be incomplete. There's going to be things that you want to add to it that you're going to say, God, I need to write another book. Number two, some of the things that you write in the book, you will change your opinion about later. So the book is instantly dated the way that it comes out. And number three, some people will attack you for what's you might change in the book or what is perceived as wrong. And most of all, you'll probably attack yourself about the things you didn't get right or want to do. And so I think what people have to recognize is in today's world, the time, you know, the media cycle is very quick, and it's better to go out there, put a position out there, and correct something later than to not get out there and have that regret. You know, I wish I had done that book, because it is the ultimate calling card.
Yeah. It is. And quick, I tell people, because I wrote a book last year, it's quit worrying about what other people are going to think, you know, because I think that fear, because I thought about that too, to be honest. I was like, yeah, what are people going to say? And then I got to a point where I was like, you know what? I don't care what people are going to say, you know, because there's always going to be a critic out there.
And almost never will they ever remember what you wrote in the book. They'll remember how you made them feel.
Exactly. Exactly. I love it. Now, what, where can people find you, Wade, in your books and all your amazing work?
Yeah, if they go to buyoptimizers.com, they can find me. We have all the Twitter stuff and Facebook stuff. My team runs most of that. Yeah, buyoptimizers.com, Facebook, same thing. And yeah, or just track me through Wade Lightheart, and I'm pretty easy to find out there on the airways. And then we have our awesome health podcast, and we just bring in experts from all around the world that I'm interested in learning from, because I always believe to constantly be learning.
Exactly. Now, what, any final nuggets of advice you can give the listener out there, buddy, before we wrap up?
Yeah, take control of your health now. People get a diagnosis and say, well, I was healthy until I got this diagnosis. The reality is we're all in a phase of degeneration, or we're in a phase of optimization. And so the bottom line is, if you do not take action towards your health now, you will pay a heavy price later on and take away some of the most magic moments, your friends, your family, and whatever. And if you do end up in a physical challenge, or you are in a physical challenge, recognize it's not necessarily a diagnosis for death. Get second opinions, get third opinions. Do not let someone else define how you are going to live your life in life, or that they are the ultimate authority, that whether you make it or break it. So the bottom line is break it and keep going.
Yeah, there's so much technology out there. New medicines, alternative medicine coming out. And we're living longer for the most part, right? So you got to take care of yourself.
We are in the golden age, the combination of genetics, epigenetics, nutrigenomics, life extension, hormone manipulation, gene editing. The next 20 years are absolutely going to blow the model of what's possible. And I do believe that we are going to be able to live effectively as humans, as centurions, in the coming decades.
Oh my God. I got to have you back on the show to have that discussion, Wade.
Thank you so much. I'd love to have it.
Well, Wade Lightheart, brother, thank you so much for what you're doing. An honor and privilege having you on the show. Everything we talked about, folks, is going to be linked up in the show notes. Wade, I hope you have a great day, my friend.
Thanks, Patrick.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.